Momentum keeps us going. Gravity makes us strong. By Akamine-chan. Read by Argentum Lupin. Content notes. Discussions of drug and alcohol abuse, discussions of attempted suicide, brief violence, casual discussion of murder, creepy parasitism, tentacles, and science! Part 1. The problem was that Gerard was a Frankenstein. The Way family had 5 generations of Frankensteins to their name, and Gerard was the best and brightest of them. Frankensteins had that spark of genius, which made them scientists and artists, musicians and inventors. The list of well-known Frankensteins was long and illustrious. Tesla, Einstein, Dickinson and Byron, Blake, Kahlo and Feynman, Franklin and Da Vinci, Saint Germain, Beethoven, Mozart. Frankensteins were often also severely lacking in common sense, and Gerard was no exception to that particular characteristic. Mikey was the black sheep of their family, just as intelligent as Gerard, but well-organized and sensible. He was the main reason why Waybro's Biologic Enterprises was the success it was. It was his responsibility to make sure that Gerard ate regularly, didn't set things on fire, and didn't get lost when they went into town. Ray Toro, their best friend since junior high and their majordomo, helped, but Ray's main duty was to make sure that the household ran smoothly. He cooked and cleaned, but he drew the line at doing their laundry. It was because of him that Castleway had lights, running water, and heat all the time. Mikey was spending more and more time with the business end of WBBE, fighting off the constant maneuverings of their rival clandestine industries, and that left Gerard mostly unsupervised. Which was not good. Not good at all, because Gerard could, and did, get into a lot of trouble on his own. The miniature kittens were the last straw. They were cute and fuzzy and about the size of ping-pong balls. Something about their smaller dimensions made them less prone to provoking sneezing and itching and watering eyes from those who had allergies. Gerard could finally indulge in his lifelong dream of having cats as pets. He kept the half-dozen that he'd created in a hamster cage that he'd gotten for Christmas years ago, and he spent hours making googly eyes and cooing at them. It was disgustingly sweet. Mikey thought he was going to throw up. He looked at Ray, who coughed to hide a laugh, and mumbled something about scrubbing the grout in the bathroom. Traitor, Mikey thought with a scowl. We can call them mittens. Mikey just looked at him blankly. Miniature kittens! Mittens! Gerard did some jazz hands and smiled appealingly. You're not serious. He could feel his left eye twitching. Mikey? There was just the faintest hint of a whine in Gerard's voice. The mittens alone wouldn't have been so bad, but Gerard accidentally left the cage open, and once the mittens got into the walls of their castle, it was a lost cause. The mittens reproduced quickly to fill the space they occupied. Asexual budding, Mikey! Were constantly underfoot, and they made it impossible to get a good night's sleep, with the mewing and the purring and the pouncing. Even Ray was losing patience with the mittens. Gerard needs someone to help him. He had a broom and a dustpan and was sweeping up mittens and moving them to the enclosure he'd built for them. I don't need a fucking Igor, Gerard grumbled. Mikey just fished several mittens out of his bowl of cereal with a spoon and raised an eyebrow. He tried to wipe the milk off them with his sleeve, but they just took that as another game, and Mikey gave up. The mittens would hopefully groom each other later. Otherwise, Mikey would have to bathe them, which was hard because they were so tiny. Maybe he could just give them a good rinse in the kitchen sink. They had a colander. Gerard had the sense to look sheepish. You've created the cat equivalent of tribbles, and they've gotten loose in our castle, and if we don't do something, they are going to take over the world. Mikey pointed accusingly at Gerard with his spoon. Oh hey, I totally did make cat tribbles! He looked enormously pleased with himself. Fuck, Ray said, covering his face with his hands. Mikey sighed. I don't care if you think you don't need an Igor. For the sake of our sanity, you are getting one. He stared down at his legs, resigned, as a double handful of mittens started climbing him like an enormous tree. Mikey! No. He held up a hand. That's it, Gerard. I can't handle this anymore. I don't know about Ray, but I haven't gotten a decent night's sleep since the mittens got loose. He plucked a mitten off his leg with a flinch as tiny claws dug in. The first thing the Igor is going to help you do is capture all the mittens, and fix them so they can't, Mikey made air quotes, asexually reproduce. Bud. Whatever. Mikey glared. No more. Ray piped in with, they've turned into a minister, Ard, as he cleared away their breakfast dishes. But... No. Mikey used his most serious voice. He was done. Mad Scientist Monthly. Waybros Biologic Enterprises Incorporated invites applications from research associates for a full-time mid-level position to start as soon as possible. The applicant's area of expertise is open, but experience with organic systems is preferred. The successful candidate will be responsible for developing and implementing original research, as well as collaborating with current WBBE staff, helping manage ongoing projects, writing technical reports and proposals, inventorying and replenishing laboratory stock as necessary, minor office work, and brewing coffee. Waybros Biologics has an extensive on-site laboratory, including a HUD single-molecule real-time RNA polymerase sequencer, a scanning tunneling electron microscope, an inductively coupled plasma optical emission spectrometer interfaced to a gas chromatograph with cool-on column and programmable thermal vaporization injectors, and a pulsed field gel electrophoresis setup. Additionally, Waybros Biologics is offering a generous compensation package to the successful applicant, which includes 15 paid holidays, 2 weeks of paid vacation time, paid sick leave, medical, dental, and vision insurance, a 401k plan, and a suite of rooms at picturesque Castle Way. Send letter of application including curriculum vitae, official transcripts, research philosophy, and description of professional interests and goals, along with 3 letters of reference to Waybros Biologics, Box AA, Belleville, New Jersey, 07109. Evil Overlord Gazette. Waybros Biologic Enterprises Incorporated invites applications from research minions for a mid-level position to start as soon as possible, to assist in the quest for complete and utter world domination. The applicant's area of expertise is open, but experience with organic systems is preferred. The successful candidate will be responsible for supporting the current WBBE staff in their endeavors, helping manage ongoing projects, writing technical reports, interrogating spies, inventorying and replenishing laboratory stock as necessary, minor office work, and brewing coffee. Loyalty is a must. Waybros Biologics has an extensive on-site laboratory and offers a competitive compensation package to the successful applicant, which includes a suite of rooms at Castle Way. Send letter of application, including curriculum vitae, official transcripts, philosophy for world domination, and description of professional interests and interrogation styles, along with 3 letters of reference to Waybros Biologics, Box AA, Belleville, New Jersey, 07109. By the end of the month, Mikey had accumulated over 100 responses to his classified ads in MSM and EOG. He managed to cull the pile a bit by checking references and throwing out the obviously crazy in a bad way applicants. From there, he narrowed down his pool by examining each candidate's field of specialization. One of the more intriguing applications was from an artificial intelligence robot hybrid. Z had an excellent educational background and an impeccable employment record, as expected. Both Mikey and Gerard would agree that robots were cool and would never even think about discriminating against those of a more mechanical nature, but Mikey wasn't sure that Z was a good fit with Gerard's research. He put her in the pile of people to interview anyway, just because he was curious. Next, Mikey discarded the ones with a spotty employment history and the ones looking for an entry-level job. They needed someone reliable, and Gerard was not a good match for an inexperienced researcher. The ideal candidate was someone who could, and would, stand up and say no to some of Gerard's more unrealistic schemes. Or, at the very least, put the brakes on any plans that were likely to get them all thrown into jail. Holy shit! A chorus of tiny meows answered him. He and Ray hadn't made much headway against the infestation of mittens in his office. Fuck! Gerard! Gerard! Mikey shouted as he galloped down the stairs toward the basement laboratories. Gerard! He burst into the main lab and skidded to a stop in front of Gerard's workbench. An Iero applied for the job. Gerard hummed absentmindedly, not looking up from the microscope he was peering into. Who did what? Mikey moved closer and waited, foot tapping, until Gerard looked at him. An Iero applied for the job. Our job. Your job. As your Igor. Mikey was still mostly tongue-tied in disbelief. An Iero, for fuck's sake. It would be such a coup for WBBE, and would look great in the annual report. And that's a good thing? Gerard tried out an enthusiastic smile, but failed miserably, and his eyes kept sliding back toward the microscope.
Oh, for the love of...
Mikey fought the urge to bury his fingers in his hair and yank.
The Ieros are one of the most infamous clans of Igors in the world.
Ah, okay. Super. That's good, then. His fingers twitched toward the microscope, and he jerked his hand back, looking guilty. Mikey was immediately suspicious.
What are you working on, Gerard?
Nothing. Gerard stared at the ground and tangled his fingers in the hem of the Iron Maiden t-shirt under his lab coat. It made him look about 5 years old as he perched there on his lab stool. Sighing, Mikey pushed his hair out of his eyes. Gerard was a terrible liar.
No, really. What are you working on?
Muppies. I didn't want the mittens to get lonely.
Absolutely not.
Mikey!
No!
Mikey tried to hold firm against Gerard's big-eyed, pathetic look.
At least, not until we settle the issue of an assistant.
He scrubbed roughly at his face.
Weren't you working on a new strain of pollution-eating bacteria?
Sometimes it helped to redirect Gerard's energy in a more... positive direction.
Boring,
Gerard intoned, pouting a little. Mikey steeled himself against it. He'd had years of practice, after all.
Maybe, but it'd be nice if you finished up that project so we can put it out on the market. Clandestine Industries just tried to patent a similar bacteria that clearly infringes on your research. I've got our lawyers working on a lawsuit.
Gerard frowned and looked at him. Finding that particular organic pathway was nothing but luck. How did Clan Industries even come up with the same idea?
Espionage. They were paying someone in the post office to monitor our shipments of supplies and pieced it together from that.
Mikey shrugged.
I took care of it.
You always take care of everything, Gerard said. Thanks, Mikes.
Bacteria, then?
I guess. Gerard sighed. Slave driver?
Right. Mikey laughed.
In the end, Mikey decided to interview 7 people. He'd had 6 good candidates, but Gerard insisted on a prime number, and Mikey liked 7 better than 5. Mikey also created a list of standard interview questions that he wanted to ask, and when Gerard looked over them, he just shook his head, grabbed a Sharpie, and started crossing some of them off.
Hey, those are my questions. Make up your own.
Which Mikey realized may have been a tactical error on his part when he saw the glee on Gerard's face.
Fine, I will. Fuck,
Mikey said. What should have been a straightforward process just became so much more complex than it needed to be. Mikey wasn't sure why he was surprised. He sighed.
5 questions for you, 5 for me,
he offered as a compromise. Gerard grinned. Perfect. He wandered off toward the labs, whistling cheerfully. Mikey had such a bad feeling about this. When he told Ray about it later, he just shook his head sadly at Mikey, curls bouncing.
You should know better by now.
Sighing, Mikey nodded.
He's just so damn sneaky sometimes.
Ray just patted his shoulder consolingly.
Well, at least the interviews will probably be more interesting with Gerard's questions.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Greta Saltpeter was a brilliant, well-educated woman who specialized in biologic computer systems. For her master's thesis, she constructed a physical model of logical AND and OR gates that used the herd behavior of lemmings to operate the gates. She'd had a postdoctoral position at the Center for Unconventional Computing and had published an impressive series of papers while she was there. Mikey thought she might be a good fit with G because of his interest in biological cellular automata and robots. Dr. Saltpeter was younger than Mikey expected, blonde-haired and blue-eyed, elfin. He had Ray bring her down into his office, where he and Gerard were drinking coffee and talking about the best way to round up the mittens. Mikey was thinking about catnip-scented traps, and Gerard was toying with the idea of a vacuum system to gently suck mittens out of the nooks and crannies of their admittedly drafty old castle.
Hello?
Mikey stood up and held out a hand.
We're very pleased to meet you, Dr. Saltpeter,
he said, giving Gerard's chair a surreptitious kick. Gerard belatedly got to his feet and did the strange half-bow, half-bob thing he did when he felt shy. Hi. Dr. Saltpeter had a firm handshake and a direct gaze that appealed to Mikey. Thank you, Mr. Way, Dr. Way. I was pleased to have the opportunity to apply for this job. Mikey smiled.
Well, let's get started, shall we? Tell us about yourself.
Dr. Saltpeter sailed through Mikey's 5 questions, confident and articulate, talking about her research, her skills at handling conflict with other researchers, her ambitions, her volunteer work with underprivileged kids. Mikey was suitably impressed. He hadn't expected to find such a good prospect so early on in the interview process. Your resume is very impressive, Gerard said. I'm especially curious about your ideas on biological distributed information processing. Fascinating stuff. He shuffled through the pile of papers on the desk in front of him. If you can bear with us for just a little longer, I have a few questions of my own to ask.
Of course, Dr. Saltpeter said, smiling.
Gerard nodded. How many balloons do you think it would take to fill up this room? He gestured widely. Her smile disappeared.
I'm sorry?
Think of it as a thought experiment, Dr. Saltpeter. How many inflated balloons do you think it would take to fill the room? It went downhill from there. Dr. Saltpeter floundered her way through Gerard's increasingly surreal and nonsensical questions, and Mikey got more and more pissed. Gerard wasn't usually deliberately mean, but watching Dr. Saltpeter miserably struggle to keep up made Mikey reconsider that. Thank you, Dr. Saltpeter, Gerard said, getting to his feet and holding out his hand to her. We really appreciate you taking the time to interview with Waybro's Biologic Enterprises. There are a few other candidates that we need to interview, but we should be able to get back to you by the end of next week to let you know what our decision is. Nodding, she let herself be escorted out by Ray. The minute she was out of earshot, Mikey rounded on Gerard.
What the fuck was that, G? How would you get an elephant into a refrigerator? Seriously, what the fuck?
I wanted to see how creative she could be, Mikey. Gerard looked at him earnestly. Creativity is such a huge part of being a scientist, and a lot of people just don't have that spark. Dr. Saltpeter is a talented woman, good at what she does, but she doesn't have that...
Je ne sais quoi?
Mikey's voice was wry. Gerard grinned. Yeah, that. She'll be a great asset to any company. Just not ours. Mikey looked at him.
You never make things easy.
I don't do it on purpose, Gerard said in protest. I just figured if I have to have an Igor, I want someone who fits. Otherwise, what's the point?
True enough. Mikey sighed. The next interview's in an hour. I'll have Ray fetch you a little before, yeah?
Gerard looked like a kid who'd been told it was time for recess. Super.
Mikey just shook his head.
Dr. Robert McCracken was a researcher who specialized in the biomedical aspects of exotic fungi. He was having some success in uniting Western and Eastern medical traditions, finding fungi that helped fight organ rejection after transplants and ease the symptoms of depression. He was short, neatly dressed, with his long blonde dreadlocks tied back. He smiled and he shook hands, and Mikey's first impression was, yes. Except that he noticed that Gerard didn't offer to shake hands. In fact, Gerard made it a point to not get too close to Dr. McCracken, and tried to keep Mikey away from him as well. Weird, even by Gerard's standards.
Tell us about some of your current research, Dr. McCracken.
He smiled, and something about the smile pinged Mikey as wrong. Maybe Gerard was onto something.
Currently, I'm working with cordyceps, which is a genus of parasitic fungi. They mostly infest insects. The fungi actually control the insects to a certain degree, causing them to exhibit behaviors that are favorable to the survival of the fungi.
But not the insect, Gerard interrupted flatly.
No, not favorable to the insect.
Dr. McCracken nodded, blue eyes wide.
I'm trying to see exactly how the fungi manipulate the host, and trying to extrapolate that to vertebrates as well.
He shrugged.
Fungi have been used for a long time in traditional medicine. I'm just exploring the pharmacology of some of the more promising species.
Gerard nodded. Interesting. He indicated Mikey. We have a few questions we like to ask just to get an idea if you'd be a good fit here at WBBE.
Please, go ahead.
Mikey wasn't sure what was going on, but he followed Gerard's lead.
What do you consider to be your greatest weakness?
The interview went smoothly, with Dr. McCracken answering all of Mikey's standard interview questions thoughtfully. When Mikey looked at Gerard curiously, G just tilted his head in a way that said, no, and didn't ask any of his special je ne sais quoi questions. In any other situation, Mikey would have been pleased, but Gerard was acting increasingly twitchy, so Mikey just carefully shook hands with Dr. McCracken and had Ray escort him out.
Emergency decontam, now, Mikey! He might have gotten spores on you!
Gerard said, pushing him into the decontamination chamber right outside of the office. That was Gerard's seriously scared, worried voice.
Close off.
His voice was muffled through the thick plexi, and Mikey just did as he was told, shedding clothes as the sealed chamber filled with disinfectant.
I'm gonna flash your office and make Ray decontam, too. Be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Mikey had to wonder where Gerard thought he was going to go, naked and shivering.
It wasn't until hours later, all three of them wrapped in bathrobes and drinking coffee in the kitchen, that Gerard finally explained. The fungi that he was working on had taken him over.
Like Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Pod people and stuff? Ray asked.
Yeah. Gerard was pale and quiet.
How did you know? He seemed perfectly normal when I brought him down to the labs. A little quiet, maybe, but nothing that indicated that he'd been taken over by a fungus.
Ray's brown eyes were curious.
Yeah, how did you know, G?
Gerard traced a scratch on the wooden tabletop, over and over. I'd met him once, briefly, at a conference in L.A. He grimaced. Dr. McCracken was, a very loud, obnoxious individual. Outgoing, gregarious, the life of the party. Like a squirrel on crack. The difference in personality was striking, and knowing that he was working with parasitic, mind-controlling fungi... Mikey shuddered.
Ugh.
Yeah. He swallowed the rest of his coffee and set the mug down with a thump. I was worried about alarming him, because a lot of fungi can explosively sporulate, and I really didn't think that would be a good thing. Spores everywhere and no telling what they would have done to us. He shivered and looked into his empty mug. I called a friend at the CDC and they took him in. They say his brain and body's riddled with the fungi, so they've quarantined him and are trying to communicate with the fungi now. They think Dr. McCracken, the person, is gone.
Like a fucking horror movie zombie, Ray muttered.
Yeah, except the zombie has an alien intelligence controlling it. Gerard sighed softly. I wonder how many people he managed to infect. Mikey stared at Gerard for a long moment before he got up and cleared the schedule for the rest of the day. The three of them sat close on the couch, eating ice cream and watching Fellowship of the Ring, trying not to think of the possibilities. The next applicant was an AI, one of the more advanced models of extrapolative computers. She called herself Trick, and presented herself as a small, boxy, dog-shaped robot with rotating antennae for ears and a red glowing bar for eyes. It even had a tail.
It makes it easier for humans to relate to me if they have a physical presence to focus on.
The voice was smooth and masculine, with only a hint of metallic overtone to indicate that it was being synthesized from within the robotic form.
I can see that,
Mikey said, looking at the robot's muzzle. They'd carefully lifted the heavy robot up onto the desk.
Humans definitely try to orient themselves toward what they consider to be the intelligence they're talking to. Hard to do with a disembodied voice.
Indeed,
Trick intoned.
I can't help but notice the shape of your mobile, Gerard said, ignoring Mikey's frantic hand gesture across his throat to cut.
He reached out and patted the side of the robot. Are you a fan of the show?
Oh, yes,
Trick said, voice warming.
Very much so.
Thought so. Gerard grinned. Awesome.
I also find that humans are more comfortable when presented with a familiar shape.
Yeah.
Okay, then, Mikey interrupted. Tell us about yourself, Trick.
Trick was a fascinating intelligence. Z had started out as an experimental computer, and once the Frankenstein who'd created here had given here enough memory to work with, Z'd bloomed into sentience.
Dr. McCoy lobbied for my reassignment as a sentient and helped me navigate some of the intricacies of human society.
Her research specialty was, unsurprisingly, human-AI interfaces. Z was trying to find ways for AIs and humans to have a fuller understanding of each other, paralleling some research into human-AI hybrids. Communication was key, Z thought, and communicating mind-to-mind was the future wave of interaction between humans, AI, and all kinds of computer-based intelligences. When it was Gerard's turn to ask his questions, Trick didn't hesitate. Z elaborated on the possible methods of getting an elephant into a refrigerator, and explained how Z came up with the number of balloons Z thought could fit into Mikey's office.
It's a straightforward problem, really. That's what calculus was invented for. But I assumed that you wanted a more creativity-driven answer than what dry mathematics provides.
Gerard just beamed happily, nodding. Trick thanked them for the opportunity to interview with WBBE, and Mikey and G both watched here trundle away. If we don't hire here, we definitely need to invite here to come over and hang out with us, Gerard said. Because Z is motherfucking awesome.
Yes.
Hello. Dr. Alicia Simmons was the most gorgeous woman that Mikey had ever laid eyes on. She was tall and slender with curves, and her fingers were graceful as Mikey took her hand in his. She was a paleogeneticist. She'd done her thesis on the possibility of recreating extinct creatures by using genetic material gathered from the La Brea tar pits.
Just like Jurassic Park, Mikey, except with Pleistocene mammals.
In the meantime, she'd worked with several prominent companies on fine-tuning the extraction and processing techniques. She held several patents on her work, and was well on her way to becoming a force to be reckoned with in the field of extinction genetics.
Hello, he stuttered back, shaking her hand and blushing.
He knew that Gerard was giving him a puzzled look, but he couldn't help it. She was beautiful, all dark hair and sultry eyes, prim business suit, and the hint of tattoos under her pure white shirt.
I'm Gerard Way, and this is Mikey, Gerard said, holding out his hand. We're very glad to meet you.
He nudged Mikey back toward his chair, and he fell into it. His knees felt sort of wobbly.
Hello, she said again, with a small smile.
Mikey couldn't look away from her.
So, Dr. Simmons, Gerard said, tell us about yourself.
She went into her background in greater detail, explaining what her current research entailed, and Gerard made all the appropriate noises in all the appropriate places, little encouraging hmms and oh yeses, while Mikey watched her face raptly.
What made you go into genetics? Gerard asked.
I always wanted to have a pet woolly mammoth. Her voice was soft and sweet, and Mikey really couldn't make himself look away from her.
Awesome.
Gerard nudged his foot under the table, and Mikey forced himself to stop mooning over her and to participate in the discussion, asking for clarification about some of her answers.
Have you ever had a conflict with someone you worked with? How did you resolve it?
Dr. Simmons took her time answering, her gaze turning inward while she tapped thoughtfully at her lower lip. Mikey's eyes were drawn by the movement, and it took a kick to his shin from Gerard to get him to look away.
Well, I once worked for a professor who thought that he was entitled to claim my research as his own, she said softly.
And what did you do? Report him to the guild?
The Igor's guild had procedures in place for dealing with conflicts between Frankensteins and Igors, ensuring that Igor rights were protected.
Oh, no, I killed him.
Mikey blinked. He tried to remember if her application had come in through MSM or...
No, she'd definitely applied through EOG.
Old school Igor, Gerard said, beaming.
With ambition.
Yes, she agreed.
Gerard nodded and asked the next question.
What did you think? Gerard asked, with studied casualness.
Aside from the fact he thought she was hot.
Super hot.
Mikey toyed with his coffee mug.
I think she has too much ambition to work as your Igor.
He looked at his notepad and made a face at all the stupid hearts he'd doodled. He ripped the sheet off the pad and crumpled it into a ball, tossing it toward the wastebasket.
And missing. Fuck.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. You'd come down to the labs and find me dead with a knife in the middle of my back.
He smiled and stole Mikey's notepad to doodle pictures of Dr. Simmons chasing him around the lab with a butcher knife. But she'd still be a great addition to WBBE as a full Frankenstein. Mikey stared at him.
A lot of effort for someone we just barely met.
There were forms that would need to be filled out, petitions to be filed with both guilds, fees to be paid, letters of recommendation.
And maybe she's happy being in Igor.
He pointed at the drawing.
Also, a butcher knife is not the most ideal weapon to murder someone with.
Gerard sighed. Mikey.
Besides, she's dangerous.
Only if we try to screw her over.
Gerard chuckled.
And you just want to...
Mikey held up his hand to keep Gerard from making the obvious juvenile comment.
Don't.
Heaving another sigh, Gerard nodded.
Okay, but I really don't think Dr. Simmons plans on being an Igor for the rest of her life, Mikey. Her research interests mesh well with a lot of what WBBE is doing, and I think we need to snap her up while we have the chance.
Yeah?
Yeah. She's brilliant and ambitious and a perfect addition to WBBE. And once we've gotten all the paperwork taken care of, you can ask her out.
He blushed again.
Fuck you.
Gerard just grinned. Dr. Gabe Saporta was the tallest, skinniest person that Mikey had ever met. He was also the only double doctorate they were interviewing, philosophy and physics. It struck Mikey as a strange combination, but Gerard had just nodded.
A lot of quantum physics is philosophy, Mikes.
He'd shrugged, because what could he say to that? He knew nothing, really, about either subject. But Gerard had seen Dr. Saporta's application and had immediately put it into the to-interview pile.
Dr. Saporta also had rather questionable taste in clothes, wearing purples and neon pinks, but Mikey wasn't going to judge, because Gerard was sitting next to him in a rumpled suit with his hair sticking up like he'd just rolled out of bed. Which, after a glance at the clock, might not actually be far from the truth. Also, Gerard's socks were mismatched and his vest was buttoned wrong. "We're very pleased to meet you, Dr. Saporta," Gerard said.
"Likewise," Dr. Saporta replied. "I appreciate the opportunity to interview for the job."
Mikey nodded.
"So, tell us a little about yourself."
Dr. Saporta liked to talk.
A lot.
He told Mikey and Gerard about his life, his education, and how he came from a family of philosophers and theologians who were still upset with his apparent defection to science. His mom wouldn't speak to him, though she did nag him through his brothers about taking care of himself properly, and managed to find the time to complain about the lack of grandchildren. His father, on the other hand, just kept trying to set him up with nice young women. He told them about trying to find the perfect balance between science and religion, and how he was pretty sure that quantum physics was the answer to everything. "It sorta is, isn't it?" Gerard said. "It's what unifies everything in the universe, including faith and truth." Dr. Saporta smiled at Gerard.
"Exactly."
He went on to explain how processes at the quantum level influence things on a macroscopic level, and that his research focused on those macroscopic changes. "You understand that WBBE doesn't currently have a particle accelerator or a cyclotron of any sort on site?" Gerard asked. "I've been wanting one, but my current research interests haven't been focused on the quantum level, and so I've had a hard time arguing for the capital outlay to build one." He slanted a glance at Mikey, who ignored him. Dr. Saporta nodded.
"But you have a moat."
Gerard brightened. "We do! It'd be perfect, wouldn't it? We could drain it, find a new home for the crocodiles and piranhas, and build a nice little circular accelerator."
"Yes, if you could secure the funding."
Laughing, Gerard bumped shoulders with Mikey. "Yeah, that's the hard part sometimes. This guy watches every penny like a hawk." Mikey's phone beeped quietly. It was Ray, who would only interrupt them if it was something really important.
"Hold on, I have to take this."
He squeezed Gerard's shoulder as he walked by, stepping out into the hallway and shutting the door behind him.
"Yeah?"
Ray didn't bother with pleasantries.
"Support is a card-carrying member of the Assassin's Guild, and guess who he's currently working for?"
"Fuck, you're kidding me."
"Nope,"
Ray said.
"Sending the data to your phone."
"I thought he seemed too good to be true."
He looked back into the office, where Gerard was gesturing animatedly to Dr. Saporta.
"G really likes him, too."
Ray inhaled sharply.
"You left him alone with Saporta?"
"He's fine," Mikey assured him. "G's armed. He's always armed when there are strangers around. Gun and knife."
"Still?"
"I know."
Mikey rubbed at his eyes tiredly. He just wanted the rest of the interviews to go smoothly, without pod people or blazing hot tattooed women or corporate assassins. Please, God, they only had two more to go. No more surprises.
"Thanks, Ray."
"De nada. I'll be right down,"
he said, and hung up.
"Sorry about the interruption,"
Mikey said, stepping back into the office and sitting down again. He noted, with approval, that G had sensed that something was amiss and had undone the guard on his sheath, making it easy for him to draw his knife if necessary.
"So, Dr. Saporta, how long have you worked for Pete Wentz and Clandestine Industries?"
"Fuck!" Gerard hissed in surprise.
"I'm sorry? I don't understand."
Mikey used his phone's built-in projector to run the 3D video that Ray had sent him. Pete Wentz and Saporta walking together, Saporta's arm slung companionably across Pete's shoulders. There was a hollow feeling in his stomach, anger and regret and too many nights thinking of all the things that had gone wrong.
"I don't know."
Mikey didn't even have a chance to finish his sentence before Saporta sprang into motion, leaping impossibly over the desk and crashing into G, knocking him to the ground. All those fucking self-defense lessons finally paid off, because G kicked Saporta off and quickly rolled to his feet, knife out. There was a feral grin on his face. "Come on, you fucker," he said to Saporta, who was apparently part ninja, because he threw something on the ground in front of G, which made a loud bang and started filling the office with thick, dark smoke. "Ray! Ray!" G shouted. "He's getting away! Ray!" Mikey couldn't see anything, so he drew his gun and headed toward the windows. They needed to clear the room of smoke.
"He's gone. He ran into me on the way out the front door."
Ray's voice came from the hallway.
"Well, fuck!"
G sounded pissed. Mikey wrestled the window open, breathing in fresh air.
"Release the fucking hounds, Ray!"
There was a long pause.
"We don't have any hounds, G."
Ray sounded so apologetic that Mikey snorted, turning it into a cough before G noticed. The smoke was clearing, and he could see a faint outline of G, hands on his hips, tapping his foot impatiently. "Well, what do we have, Ray?"
"We have the wolves, of course, which are kinda like hounds, but you know they're pretty tame. I don't know if they would actually eat anyone, if that was your plan."
The smoke had cleared enough for him to see Gerard.
"Fuck!"
He rounded on Mikey. "Why don't we have any badass creatures to hunt and devour our enemies, Mikes?"
"Because you and Ray keep making pets out of them?"
There was no way that Mikey was taking the blame for this. He wasn't going to mention the pseudo-dragons, the griffin, the basilisk, or the fucking nightmare, which still refused to wear a saddle. He tried.
"Oh."
Gerard deflated.
"Yeah, I guess we do."
Mikey was close enough that he started running his hands over G, making sure nothing was broken.
"You okay?"
Gerard nodded. "Yeah, back hurts a little from when I hit the floor, but I didn't bang my head.
Bit my lip, though,"
he said, sticking out his bottom lip and trying to look at it. Mikey looked and nodded.
"You're bleeding a little, but it doesn't look too bad."
He couldn't help himself. He pulled G in for a hard hug.
"Christ, you scared me."
He could feel himself trembling from the adrenaline rush.
"Me? I didn't do anything,"
he said, muffled against Mikey's shoulder.
"It was that fucker Saporta."
Gerard held tight, rubbing Mikey's back soothingly.
"And Pete."
"Yeah."
Gerard's voice got quiet.
"And Pete."
"You okay, Mikey?"
Ray sounded hesitant, like he was afraid to interrupt.
"We're both fine. You?"
"Yeah." Ray shifted from foot to foot.
"I'll get the ice cream." "New Hope or Empire?"
Mikey asked, face still buried in G's hair.
"New Hope for sure."
Mikey just nodded. Mikey waited until he was sure G had gone to bed. And then he waited a little more, toying with his phone, trying to distract himself from the anger that was bubbling just under the surface of his thoughts. G could have been killed, and it was all Mikey's fucking fault. He wanted to throw his phone against the wall, watch it shatter into shards of hard plastic and glass. Instead, he dug into his desk drawer and pulled out a bottle of whiskey. He wiped the dust off of it. He hadn't had a drink in years, not since Gerard had almost died and he and Pete... fuck. Since he'd left Pete in the middle of the night to rescue his older brother. By the time Gerard had recovered enough that Mikey could think clearly again, it had been too late. Pete stopped answering his calls, had changed the lock on his door, and hadn't given Mikey a chance to explain. He poured a shot into his coffee mug and tossed it back, wrinkling his nose at the burn. Mikey looked at his phone, and before he could lose his courage, punched in Pete's. It rang twice and went straight to voicemail, which wasn't a surprise. Pete actually didn't like talking on his phone, preferring to text an endless series of messages at all hours of the day and night. Random questions, bits of poetry, photos, links to interesting stuff on the internet. The lack of text messages had, strangely enough, been one of the things Mikey had missed most.
"It's Pete, speak your piece."
Mikey had a second to wish that he'd given some thought to what he was going to say to Pete. He'd never found the right words for Pete, even though he'd tried for years. Mikey took a deep breath, closed his eyes, and remembered how much Pete's silence had hurt, and how scared he was this afternoon when he'd seen Saporta jump over the desk with deadly intent. Everything suddenly became clear, and he felt his anger transform into something cold and brittle.
"You ever fucking do something like that again, Pete, and I'll kill you myself, no matter how much I..."
He took a deep breath.
"Leave Gerard out of this. It wasn't his fault. Was never his fault. It was mine."
He could hear the hum of the connection, and wondered if Pete would actually listen to the message. Wondered if Pete had listened to any of his messages that he'd left since that night. A wave of tiredness washed over him, and he just wanted the oblivion of sleep.
"Miss you, Peter Panda," he whispered.
He cut the connection and tossed the phone carelessly onto his desk.
"Fuck this shit,"
Mikey said to himself, pouring more whiskey into his mug. Getting drunk seemed like a great idea. It wasn't a great idea, of course. He woke, curled up against Gerard's back. He moaned in agony. Something small and vicious was trying to claw its way out of his head. "Mikey?" Gerard, probably in deference to Mikey's raging headache, rolled over slowly to face him.
You okay?
No, he croaked. I'm dying.
Gerard sniffed disdainfully. No, you're not. You're just hungover. But he apparently decided to take pity on Mikey. Hold on, I'll get you something. He slipped out of the bed, leaving Mikey curled in a ball, clutching at his head. Mikey could hear Gerard poking around in the medicine cabinet, the rattle of a pill bottle, the squeak of the faucet handle, running water. The edge of the bed dipped down and, here, Gerard said softly. Slitting his eyes open, Mikey stared at the glass that Gerard was holding out. His other hand was cupped. Mikey really, really hoped there were some nice pills to make his head stop trying to kill him. He pulled himself to a sitting position and held his hand for the pills, tossing them back and chasing them down with huge gulps of water. He held out the glass to Gerard.
More?
He asked hopefully, because suddenly he felt dehydrated and the water tasted so good. Gerard refilled the glass twice more before Mikey was sated. He laid down, and Gerard climbed back in, pulling the covers over both of their heads, creating a safe, warm haven for both of them. They'd done this a lot as kids, hiding from the world. Even in the dimness, Mikey could see Gerard's face, pale and serious.
What?
Reaching out, Gerard carefully brushed a strand of hair out of Mikey's eyes. I just wonder sometimes. His voice was barely above a whisper.
About what?
About maybe I was wrong in calling. Mikey thought he was too hungover to feel much beyond the pounding in his head and the weird nausea in his stomach. But no, Gerard was proving him totally wrong.
Shut the fuck up!
He grabbed a handful of Gerard's sleep shirt and twisted it in his hand, inhaling and exhaling slowly, deliberately.
Don't you fucking say it.
Mikey. There was so much in Gerard's voice, pain and regret and a million other things that Mikey was too tired, too hungover, too pissed to identify. If I hadn't called, if you hadn't had to come and save me from my own stupidity. Gerard ran a hand through his hair, pushing it out of his face. Maybe it would have been better just to let me go.
Fuck you, Mikey gritted out. Fuck you, Gerard.
That night was etched into his memory with acid, the terrifying fear that the EMS wouldn't get there in time, of coaxing Gerard to stay on the phone and talking to him, of trying to keep Gerard from being pulled under by the weight of the pills he'd eaten. You'd be happy. Gerard's voice was small, and he wouldn't look at Mikey. You wouldn't be stuck taking care of me. You'd be living your own life.
I am happy, you stupid motherfucker, and you're mine to take care of.
He yanked on Gerard's shirt, trying to shake some sense into him.
Pete's issues don't have anything to do with you. He didn't trust me, didn't trust in us, and it wasn't your fault.
He pinched Gerard's arm, hard, scowling as Gerard flinched away.
Don't you ever think that again. I love every broken part of you, even when you're being an idiot.
He took a deep breath and blinked rapidly.
You're my brother. It's always been you and me against the world. It always will be.
Gerard finally looked at him. He drew in a shaky breath, nodding. Okay, okay. He brought their foreheads together and closed his eyes. Love you, Mikes.
You drive me crazy,
he muttered, closing his eyes. Gerard just laughed, a little unsteady. Lindsay Bellotto had written her doctoral thesis on cephalopod intelligence, and had spent the last 5 years trying to communicate with various species. Lately, her studies had taken a turn toward increasing the intelligence of several varieties, namely the giant Pacific octopus and the giant squid, using genetic engineering. Mikey had visions of gigantic squid-like creatures rising from the ocean and attacking ships, wrapping tentacles around screaming people. She laughed. No, Mr. Way, at least not yet. She was dark-haired, and she had dimples, bright red lipstick, and was wearing what appeared to be a heavily modified schoolgirl's uniform. He couldn't help but notice she had very nice legs.
Cephalopods are really fucking smart, Mikey, Gerard interjected.
If you were going to make a list of animals that were most likely to develop sentience, with or without human intervention, it would be something like apes, dolphins, cephalopods, and parrots.
Parrots?
Mikey hadn't known that. Dr. Bellotto had been casually flirting with Gerard since the interview had started, but Mikey was pretty sure Gerard, as usual, hadn't even noticed. But now, there was something more in her eyes, a sharper interest in his brain. He coughed to cover his snort of laughter. Only Gerard.
So, what do you hope to accomplish in the long run?
Increase cephalopod intelligence, then what? Mikey asked, twirling his pen between his fingers.
Take over the world, of course.
She looked at him like he was an idiot.
Create an army of cephalopod soldiers and dominate the planet.
Awesome, Gerard grinned. Dr. Bellotto smiled back. Tell me more, he said, wiggling in his chair like an excited puppy. Mikey thought that, in spite of how smart Dr. Bellotto was, she might not be the best Igor to hire for Gerard. The last thing he needed was for someone to seriously encourage Gerard with plans for world domination. At least, not with genetically modified cephalopods.
I liked her, Gerard said that night at dinner. I'm really interested in her work with cephalopods.
Ray looked baffled for a moment.
Squid?
Gerard nodded. And octopi?
Giant squid and octopi, Mikey clarified. She wants to create an army, take over the world, the usual.
Ah. Ray shook his head.
Ambitious.
Amazingly intelligent,
Gerard said dreamily.
Amazingly hot, too, Mikey said, around a forkful of pasta. Also, she was flirting with G pretty hardcore.
What? Gerard sounded outraged. She was not! Mikey rolled his eyes, and Ray laughed.
Mikey had scheduled Frank Iero's interview last, mainly because he was hoping that he was going to rock the interview hard and blow the rest of the candidates away.
Well, the ones that were still in the running, which at this point was... no one. Each of the applicants had impeccable credentials and the brilliance to succeed as Igors, and none of them had been right for Gerard and WBBE. All he could do was cross his fingers and hope for the best, because he didn't know if he could sift through any more resumes, or sit through any more interviews. Frank Iero showed up early, which was a huge plus in Mikey's book. Gerard's Igor needed to be more responsible and conscious of things like the passage of time, which was definitely not Gerard's strong point. G was lucky to remember what month it was, let alone what day of the week. He was small and stocky, wearing a pair of black frame glasses that made his eyes look huge. He was dressed neatly in a dark suit and tie. Very conservative. Maybe too conservative, Mikey thought, until he shook hands with Dr. Iero. His hands were covered with tattoos, sprawling across the back of his hands and down across his fingers. Mikey didn't have time to make most of them out, but he caught the H-A-L-L-O spelled across the knuckles of Dr. Iero's right hand. He guessed that maybe W-E-E-N was inked on his left hand, though why you would want the word Halloween written on your fingers? They'd find out soon enough if they hired him. And once he saw past the facade of conservativeness, Mikey started to notice the other things. Dr. Iero's tie actually consisted of a pattern of tiny little skulls. At the edge of the high collar of his shirt, Mikey could see a little bit of inked skin. Dr. Iero had a lot of tattoos. His dark hair, which Mikey had thought was cut short, was actually tied back and probably brushed the tops of his shoulders. Both ears were pierced, though empty of jewelry, and Mikey was sure he spotted a tiny divot in his lip where a ring normally rested.
Not conservative at all, then.
Mikey breathed a silent sigh of relief. He looked over to Gerard, who had shaken Dr. Iero's hand and retreated back to his chair. There was a blush high on Gerard's cheek, and he was staring down at the papers in front of him, shuffling them purposefully.
Thank you for meeting with us, Dr. Iero. We appreciate it.
Dr. Iero's eyes widened a little.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to interview with Waybros Biologics. I've been following the progress of Dr. Way's research for a number of years, so being invited to interview here was something like a dream come true for me.
That was promising.
Gerard had progressed to doodling himself fighting off a horde of Dr. McCracken lookalikes, and Mikey kicked his leg under the table.
This was important, damn it. Mikey did not want to start the whole process over with a new batch of applicants.
Tell us about yourself, Dr. Iero, Gerard said, kicking back at Mikey and missing, only managing to kick Mikey's chair. Dr. Iero talked about his educational background and his lifelong interest in biological systems.
My parents, my whole family, actually, are more interested in mechanical systems, so I was kind of the odd one out in my family. But even though they never really understood me, my parents always supported me and made sure I got the education I needed to pursue my research interests.
Having the support of your family is important, Mikey said.
Yes, Gerard agreed. Was it hard coming from a well-known family of Igors? Biting his lip, Dr. Iero took a moment to consider the question.
In some ways, yes. Because there's this sense of expectation, not only from your family, but from everyone who has ever heard of the name Iero. It would have sucked even more if I'd chosen not to be an Igor, though. Like, if I'd wanted to be a musician or an artist or a writer.
No reason you can't be more than just an Igor, if you wanted, Gerard murmured sympathetically. Art and science were twined in Gerard's blood, and he'd made the decision, early on, not to choose between them. He'd wanted both, and Mikey knew how hard he'd worked to make that happen. Gerard slid his drawing across the table so Dr. Aiero could see the bloody little doodles that he'd drawn.
Oh, awesome! You're fighting off a horde of zombies!
He giggled, and the sound was so open and bright that Mikey couldn't keep from smiling. Not technically zombies, actually. Fungus men? Long story, Gerard said, waving his hand around. My parents told me that if I wanted to be a scientist, I'd have to give up my art. All my professors at school said the same thing, that I couldn't have both. He shrugged. Just made me more determined to prove them all wrong.
And you did, G. WBBE is doing well, and your last art show sold out, Mikey said.
Gerard grinned. Yeah, couldn't have done it without you and Ray, though.
I want that.
Dr. Aiero's voice was intense. Mikey looked at Dr. Aiero, eyebrow quirked upwards.
I want my science and my music.
He looked a little scared, but determined.
I want to work for Waybros Biologics, and I want my music.
Gerard tilted his head and thought. There's an empty lab that would work well as a practice space, and Ray plays guitar. Mikey looked at Gerard warningly. They were getting ahead of themselves.
Let's finish up with the interview, shall we? Sure, Dr. Aiero said, easily enough,
but Mikey thought that he looked more resolute than when the meeting had started. They went through the rest of Mikey's normal interview questions about his ability to work with other people, and what he considered his weaknesses, and what former co-workers and bosses were likely to say about him.
They'd probably say that I'm a hard worker, someone with a lot of imagination who usually thinks outside of the box.
He shrugged.
Most people think I'm a nerd, maybe a little strange, but I'm okay with that.
What's your favorite movie? Mikey couldn't resist asking.
Fellowship of the Ring.
Gerard just traded a look with Mikey. Dr. Aiero might just be the one. The only thing that concerned Mikey was the fact that Dr. Aiero had bounced around a lot from job to job. He wanted to know why. It was going to be the make-or-break question, and Mikey was afraid of the answer. But he had to ask, because WBBE depended on him asking tough questions.
I noticed from your resume that you've worked for a number of different employers over the course of your career. Why is that?
Dr. Aiero folded his hands together and studied them for a long moment.
I'm odd, even for an Igor. And I try very hard to get along with my co-workers and employers, but I've never found a place where I really felt at home. And after a while, I start to get restless.
Gerard was nodding. Do you think you could feel at home here with WBBE? And that was the million-dollar question.
I think...
Dr. Aiero paused to clear his throat.
I think, yes.
He looked up and met Mikey's eyes, then looked at Gerard.
Yes.
Okay, Gerard said, his voice soft. I've got a few more questions. Fun questions, not boring ones like Mikey was asking.
Hey!
Dr. Aiero smiled.
Shoot!
If you could be any superhero, who would you be and why? That was Gerard's favorite question, hands down, and Mikey found himself very interested in Dr. Aiero's answer.